Welcome to Between Our Sundays.
Hey, this is Kenny.
And this is Chrissy, where we share real life with real people while serving a real God.
Well, welcome to episode number 11.
11.
Today is the 6th of March. It is a Thursday. A little late for us. We're almost at 10 o'clock our time, which if you know us is
past our bed,
significantly past a normal bedtime for us as adults. But we've been talking. I mean, you and I have had we've had a pretty good day, a pretty good last couple days, really, and just a lot of good conversation today. And it just kind of felt like, hey, let's get up here and do this, you know. And
truth be told, the next few days are going to be busy.
It's and also it's, true.
I think our schedule has just gotten to be that kind of way. We're just in a very full season, so it was. Now or never.
And it's also been nice to know that sometimes we've letting this get away from us and get a little less frequent than what we hope for, because we say we'll do it, it'll be a tomorrow, and then it won't, or something will come up. And as we've shared before, and again, just being completely honest with you guys, there's been some times that we have predictably said, hey, let's podcast. And whatever we were going to say in those moments was obviously going to have an effective impact on somebody or something, because Satan gets up in that fast, and he comes between us, or he comes between us and the kids. Like, it seems like if we give him an excuse to wait a little longer, he comes in and finds a way to get us detoured.
Absolutely.
And so I think both of us kind of just said, why wait? I mean, there's nothing that is stopping us right now other than laying down for a little bit, and that will come, and we will be perfectly sleepable here in a little bit.
Well, I think this week has been a really, I think it's been a great week to kind of just sit back and ponder on, because we've really, you know, in previous weeks, I feel like we've allowed the busyness of life to kind of come in between us, and inadvertently our marriage has grown distant because of life's busyness. And I feel like this week we really we've handled the full schedules in a way that we've prioritized each other, and we've prioritized spiritually, you know, putting God first. And
we even had a meal together
with great conversation.
It was,
and
it was,
I think
both.
that was probably the most special part of that was just that conversation. So the last time we podcasted, we were right on the brink of walking into marriage conference.
Yep.
Last
starting
week
that evening when we were finishing.
Yes. And you know, I have my notebook here in front of me, and I really, in truth, I thought that we would come home Saturday and we would podcast. That was the intent. That was the thought. But it didn't happen that way. You were kind of under the weather, and we got home, and by 4:30 you were out.
I did not feel good at all.
You were down for the count.
Yeah, something came through and definitely set me back.
So weird though, because it was like I checked you. We were in the pod. We've got this couch piece of furniture in our room that's a two person, has phone chargers in it, and we call it the pod because it's kind of where we all collect and gather in a safe, comfy space. But Kenny and I came home from the conference and did some preparation for small group Sunday and got some snacks and did the quick grocery trip, and then by 4:30 we were in our comfy clothes and hanging out in the pod and he was done. He was asleep, but there was no fevers. There was no, so I still don't know exactly what kind of funk we were dealing with, but I think it kind of went through the whole house because we were all just exhausted for a couple of weeks. It just felt like we, none of us could really catch up and we could find all the reasons. So maybe something was going around, or maybe your body was just tired and just needed some time to recoup. But you had plenty of sleep that weekend.
How big of a lesson is that just in itself, that I think we are starting to learn a little bit right now in that whole idea or premise of rest, recovery, and recuperation, that I don't think we give it enough value. I don't think we pay enough attention to the biblical examples of rest. I don't think we pay enough attention to the physical, you know, parts of how rest improves your health. And there's a big difference between being lazy and resting. Because at some point, you just need to set the distractions away for a moment, set the devices away for a moment, and prioritize just what's around you, or, you know, family, spouse, God, those kind of things. Just sitting in the moment, in the present, without being at 100 miles an hour or somewhere to go or a next destination.
Yeah.
And I feel like that while we are in a busy season, and I wouldn't change that, because it does mean that our kids are growing. It does mean that they're active and we very much enjoy being a part of those activities with them. It's okay to have a few moments to just sit and rest and be peaceful and just listen to what's going on around you for a moment. And I think as parents, if we fill all of our spaces with activities on top of them filling all of their activities with spaces, I don't think we're setting a good precedence for them either to have rest and recuperation. And I think they depend on us sometimes to kind of navigate and dictate moments of, hey guys, listen, we're not going to have anybody over. We're not going to go anywhere. Just let's all just kind of bundle up and hang tight. And the last time I can remember having that was, gosh, what is it, a month and a half ago or so, when that snowstorm came through and basically locked us in for 2.5, almost 3 days. And as much as I feel like that was, you know, snow is not my jam at all, I really enjoyed knowing that there was nowhere that I could go. There was nothing that I could get done, and it was nice just to stop and quietly see the beauty of what was happening around us, you know.
I think the beauty of that, too, it kind of reminded me of, it was a mini glimpse and reminder of what COVID was when the world was locked down. And when I think about that time of our life, while it wasn't easy because we were entering into some serious transition and how God was moving in our life at that season, we didn't even realize what was to come. But my memory of that time was our kids. I know you were gone at the time, but it was the kids up and down the driveway. We'd go on walks every day. We would the TV was off. The things that we were doing, like I remember the arts and crafts and just the things of one of the kids made a whole fireplace, a whole fire pit scene out of clay. Like that was one of their art projects. Like school was done so quick in the mornings and they did their thing, but there was gym equipment all over the house because one was a gymnast. So she was constantly practicing that. And the other one was just getting into not just getting into, she was playing softball. So she would do softball drills, and like, it was just, it was so innocent and so sweet and all, it was pure. And the electronics of the world had kind of just fallen to the wayside, and we all got back to the foundation of what family is and what life is. And I think what's important is that we prioritize that time together, but also, you know, prioritizing, you know, family time, yes, but we're getting to a point of we're on the heels of empty nesting here. Like, I can feel it coming, and it's almost kind of anxiety ridden, and I can feel that next season coming. So I'm finding it so important now to jam in all of the essential foundational things that I feel like that we've maybe not done a great job of instilling in the kids. And now I'm like trying to pack it all in with this little bit of time left. And I'm kind of, if I'm being honest, kind of freaking out inside, because it's like, oh my gosh, I want to make sure that the kids know all the goodness, and I want them to emanate joy and love and all of these things. And I have to step back and look and be like, okay, God's working in their life too. But doing what we can to try to instill those values in what little bit of time left we have with them.
Yeah. And I think it was my own revelation this week. I'm not normally a highly emotional person, but, you know, I shared with Chrissy at one point this week, I said, they're really growing much faster than I thought. And I don't know that we have much time left. And I don't mean that in like they're never going to come back home or they're not going to want to be with us. I just mean that they are both so close to that transition into adulthood that their worlds are changing and their expectations within the world are changing, where we're going to have to be hands off and say, this is really something that you need to decide for yourself, or I'm here to support you from the sideline, but I'm going to need you to step in and lead your decision and understand that as you grow and mature, these decisions become more and more about your faith and your belief and your values and morals and truly your responsibility. And that's hard. It's kind of hard to let go of that control.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to let go, because no different than us jumping out of our own nests, there were more wrong turns than there were right turns. And we only know now what we know because we took enough of the wrong turns. And of course, we don't want that for them. But I also don't know that we're not necessarily the people that we are had we not had some of those moments to learn in either.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in making maybe some of what we see as wrong choices, but really when we look at the big picture of what God's doing in our life, there are so many decisions that He already knows that we made and are going to make, but the glory that He has in store, even if it is a wrong decision, because you know we always have free will. So even if it is a wrong decision, God already knows what we're going to make that decision, and He already has a plan of how He's going to use it.
Nothing's wasted.
Oh, absolutely not. And the testimonies that are constantly in the making, because God knows and is entrusting us with a story that He knows will help minister to someone else. So there's nothing ever wasted. There's nothing ever, there's no experience that is ever left void.
So it's funny that you say that. And again, without sharing things that shouldn't be shared in this forum, in my men's group this past week, one of the points that was kind of brought up amongst one of the guys, and then kind of was it caught on like wildfire, was this gentleman spoke up and he said, listen, I'm not necessarily glad that I had to go through all the things that I've gone through, or I'm not glad to know that all of you men had to go through the things that you've gone through. But listening to each one of your individual testimonies and hearing the stories come out week by week, like, I feel like you guys all have credence behind the lessons you're teaching, because I can relate to the stories and the places that you've been. And I feel like I'm going to be able to be a part of ministry and other people because of the places and the spaces that I've been. And I think that's the part where I see the God doesn't waste anything lesson come in the most is, you know, our testimony, while in a perfect world would be, you know, I did all the right things, I made all the right paths, and I got to the end of the game. But that's not necessarily what most of us have. And you know, some people would look down on you on that. And then there's those that really can validate you as a genuine person and a genuine believer, because they can see kind of the junk that may have existed and then where God delivered you from.
And I think, and we talk about this a lot, that you relate to people in the junk. When you can relate to people in the messy, that's when you're connecting in those genuine places that God intended for us to connect. He intended for us to go through these situations so that they are a stepping stone and a learning block for someone else. And while we don't have it all together, we've definitely made all the choices in a backwards way. I can go back to the night we met and to just place us where we were at in that moment at that time. We did everything wrong, and we spent this 20-year season of doing everything wrong. But God knew that it was right because it was going to be used for His glory. What Satan came in to tear apart and to disconnect and to deunify, if that's even a word, I don't know. To.
If it's not a word, I like it.
Yeah, I do too. Deunify.
Deunify.
But, yeah. Whatever.
Put it out in the world. You heard it here first.
Right.
We get credit whatever, for it when it
whatever
hits.
Whatever that word is.
When it hits.
I feel like what was meant in a worldly sense to separate us, because in truth, I mean, just take infidelity as one, you know, that it's in a worldly sense, it's like, okay, you've cheated, so it's time for separation. It's time for divorce. It's time to end it all. And finding forgiveness and reconciliation and growth that God has just really brought us so far in the last few years, if it wasn't for the mess and if it wasn't for the junk, I don't know that we would have grown the way that we've grown. So that was kind of way off topic, because I thought we were just gonna, you know, come up in here and,
well, you know, we're good at going off
go into some of the things that the marriage conference was.
Well, let's
sparked some thoughts and stuffs.
Well, let's do that then. It was a great marriage conference. A little different this year than in some past years, just in the way that it was presented. Had a wonderful couple that came in and was kind of the focal point speakers, and a lot of life and lesson from them in the segments that were taught and gone over, and a lot of relatable things, a lot of places that I think Chrissy and I, you know, as we sat beside each other, it was like, okay, yeah, I can see where that could catch up to us. I can see where that is something that's been tripping a little bit in our life. And it was just, it was like an extended church, you know what I mean? It was like an extended period where, you know, there was worship, and it's always so wonderful just to have a moment of worship. And then you sit down and there's fellowship, and it's it's always nice to fellowship, especially when you are amongst, you know, other believers that you know that, that, you know, conversation is going to be held in a context and in a way that is real and honest, but also, you know, God and faith based, and that makes it very nice. But then you get into the lessons, and I did not feel like anything that was being presented was not very well pointed. Like, it's always amazing for me to see and sit and hear how somebody can speak, and different people will get different things from the same word spoken. And I have to imagine that was this weekend. One of the things that we did towards the very end of the conference, one of the last lessons was we watched a kind of a condensed version of the movie The Boys in the Boat. And
great movie, by the way.
Not to summarize The Boys in the Boat, because it's relative but not needed in this forum. But the whole idea, if you wrapped it up in a bow, was that it takes a team, and we're talking about a boat as in a rowing boat with all the oars and all the paddles, and then somebody at the front of the boat that kind of has to lead the cadence. And it really does not matter which one of those positions that you are in, you have to be on the team. You physically have to be in the boat. Right. Your mind has to be in the boat. And because the boat's moving backwards, you also have to be in sync with the team, who is being led by only one individual who is looking in the direction of travel, who can see the other boats that you're racing against, and is guiding you with a cadence and a voice, and I think actually steering. I don't know how the boat works, but I think they do steer a little bit too. But in either case, everybody has to be there together. Everybody, like, a little bit of dyssynchrony has chaos, and a little bit of chaos becomes more chaos because it has a rippling effect all through the team. So as this lesson is coming full circle into a feel-good movie, but how does this fit into your marriage and with you and God? It's that you and your wife have to be in the boat. You have to be in the boat together, and you've got to row the boat together. But you've got to understand that many times when you two are in the boat rowing as hard as you can, you're still moving backwards and you don't exactly see where you're going. But God sits there in that boat, and he's there to guide you. He's there to tell you when to put the oars in the water. He's there to tell you, hey, now's the time to sprint. I need you to go a little bit further and a little bit faster right now. Or, okay, we're gonna hold for just a second. We're gonna breathe through this one because we're fixing to go on a sprint. Like, this is the kind of God that we serve, that he does see everything that's ahead in the race, and he knows how to guide us perfectly through the waters, but we've got to be in the boat with him. And the realization that, at least for me anyway, God's always in the boat, but it doesn't mean we're always in the boat with him. Or it doesn't mean that we're actually listening to him while we're in the boat.
Or are we trusting in that leadership? Do we have faith that he knows all and has gone before us to create that path, and he knows exactly what speed we need to go at? He knows how slow we need to go, how fast we need to go, because he knows what's ahead.
And so as they wrapped up this entire lesson, this was the part that I think really caught on for me in the group session. And it was three groups that were needed for victory. Number one is God. You've got to have him there. He has to be at the forefront. Number two is our spouse. We've got to have a unified marriage. We have to both be all in. And number three, you've got to have a victory-minded community. And of course, my note that I wrote in there was that we need community that will strengthen our marriage, strengthen our relationship. And it took me a little bit of self and inner thought to really understand how important that was, that as we grow, as marriages are new, they need to be surrounded. As marriages mature, they need to be surrounded. As marriages become very senior, still need to be surrounded, but you're probably losing your pool of people to surround. So it probably means you're in the surrounding phase yourself. And it was a very, very humbling moment for me to kind of step back and say, what am I doing, or what are we doing in our marriage to surround ourselves? How are we doing that? Or if we are we recognizing the importance in community and the right community? And then furthermore, are we listening to enough God's call in our own life to be a part of other people's community?
Right.
And I was kind of just taken back by that for me personally. I think that was a part that stuck out a whole lot for me.
Yeah.
I don't know really.
It's something that I think will continue to go with me for some time, and that who's in my boat. And when you think about that concept of who's in my boat, like it doesn't talk about your job in your boat. Nothing worldly, nothing that, it's all relationships. It's relationships. What relationships are in my boat? Do I have a relationship with God? Do I have a relationship with my spouse? Do I have a relationship with friends and community and people who are going to build me up? It's all about relationships and relating to other people. And when we're in that boat, it's not just about what God is doing in our life either. How is God using me to bring others into this boat? It's not go find your community, put them in your boat, and that's it. It's how are we growing our boat? How are we building our boat? How what is the strength of our boat? Are we growing it to influence more people that need influencing? Are we raising up a younger generation and trying to help build and strengthen and grow marriages and families? And what are we doing? So it was a very, very important.
And I think it also gives credence, the more I sit here and think about where you and I sort of kind of felt the idea behind this podcast came from, in that we wanted to build community in this forum. We wanted to have a place where we felt like we could air the things that were present, air the things that might be going on, let others hear things that they may be able to relate to, and to be able to create a different variable in a community, and a community of this itself, to just say, you know, we are just two people. We have nothing special. We have nothing that is magnified by the two of us, but we have a desire, and I think we both have heard God speak to us very clearly to use this ability to talk and
I feel like God is really using our testimony as a place to relate. I think that there are much more marriages in the world that have that have gone through struggles, and I think that through our walk and of life, I feel like we have encountered a lot of struggles that can relate to what people are dealing with now. So I feel like God has really called us to be relatable in the sense of our walk, and not show that perfection is the goal. It's living with an unexplainable joy and peace to know that God's got us handled, but also be able to share how that walk is not easy. It's not if we go back to this podcast and how we're relating to people, like, it kind of goes back to the purpose. What was the purpose of this podcast? What was God's purpose in using us in this podcast? This is a topic that I've been struggling with greatly lately, is purpose. And the purpose is to grow his kingdom in a way that is been completely out of our comfort zone. This is not something that we've ever thought about, ever done, ever. I think we both can go back to a place where we felt God call us, and how we've continued to grow this over, gosh, November was our first one. So it's been 5 months now that we've been doing this. And I think we both can see how Satan has really targeted us in this avenue. Like Kenny has shared before, we just say the word podcast and our world is falling apart, because there's something somewhere that Satan wants to block from getting out. But really, big picture, what is purpose? What is the purpose of what we're doing? And being reminded that this is God's will. This is not my will. This is God moving through my life and through this time that we spend sharing with all of you who are listening. It may just be in the littlest of things, and maybe you've got little ones at home right now, and you just feel like your world is a monotonous routine of wake up, deal with kids, deal with a spouse, go to bed, and do it all over day after day after day after day. And maybe you're not taking that time to really just dive into to your relationship with God individually, or maybe you are very involved, and maybe you have kids who all go to school, and your days are just filled with mundane things that aren't fulfilling, or, you know, you're just trying to find that place of what is my purpose. You know, I just encourage you to get back to the core of your walk with God. Or if you don't know God, you know, maybe now's the time to open the Bible, download the Bible app, and start reading some scripture. Turn on worship music. Gosh, that's my outlet. I love worship music. It just sets my heart in the right tone. But know that there's hope in whatever season you're in and whatever you're going through.
You were in Genesis today.
I was.
And you shared some kind of, you used the word ironic, which for me,
I know, it's never
fits, because God is not a being of irony. He's a being of purpose
timing.
And timing and direct perfection. But in any case, you were there, and I believe you were sharing some of the initial stories of Abram. And as you know, Abram would become Abraham later, but God was basically saying, hey man, I need you to pick up, I need you to move out, I need you to go into this new place. And I really can't tell you what you're going to do when you get there yet. I really can't tell you how it's all going to work out, even though I know, but I need you to just do this. I need you to do it, because it's going to be part of a much bigger plan. And it was coming on the heels of you having that conversation with me of, yeah, I'm not 100% sure I know where my purpose is at right now. What has God got for me? And it was somewhat kind of the same way for Abram in that moment of, I don't understand necessarily what you're doing with me. I don't know what my purpose is in this. But so many times, purpose is revealed to us in the act of obedience, of I don't know what I'm doing this for yet, but if I do it, I have a feeling you're going to eventually reveal to me the exact place and space and why I am here where I am now out of obedience.
Right.
And I just thought it was kind of neat for you to be there in some of the Bible study and some of the things that come up. And I always enjoy hearing things that you find, because it seems like when you read the text, things come alive for you. Things come very differently to you in Scripture.
Well, it's like I'm sitting here thinking I'm special for some reason, and why am I not hearing from God, and why am I not why do I not have purpose, and all of these things about me, and really, truth be told, as I'm reading this Scripture. And I've read it before. It's just, I think that when you go back to things and you're reading them in a different season, God just reveals things differently. And it's like, geez, if we can go back to Genesis and see where God did the same thing. He called his people to do things. And there have been very significant moments in the last several years that God has spoken. And out of obedience, I have listened. And I didn't know what was going to come after. And those decisions were extremely hard in the moment to make the decisions, but I knew that God was speaking. So here I am in this phase of, in this season of refinement, because I feel like that's what he's doing right now. And when we were at dinner the other night and you were sharing just how God's preparing us. There were so many little things that you were, it was like, well, he's showing you this and he's showing you this and this door has been opened and this door has been opened. And maybe they're just short doors. Maybe they're just short little rooms that you're having to walk through before you get to the big one at the end, you know? And it's like, I don't know what big picture is. I know within my spirit that God has got something really big for us. I think he's got something great and wonderful for every one of his believers. And I'm just sitting here on this in this space of God, here I am, send me. You know, I'm ready. I want to go. I want to be used to further his kingdom. I want to share our testimony with anyone who will listen, because if God has restored us and reunified us and brought us back together and reconciled us in a time when the world, it was so easy to break us. Like, I want to share that hope. I want to share that strength with anyone who will listen. And I know God is using this platform as one of many, and I know he's going to use us even more. It's just kind of this weird season of I know there's purpose and I'm following and being obedient. It just doesn't seem very focused right now for me. And maybe that's where God's refining me, is just stepping me back to say, you don't have to have all the details. You don't have to know exactly what this route looks like so you can perfect it, because God, that's what I try to do. I just try to perfect it all.
And it's funny, because that's one of the traits of our youngest, and it drives you batty, because she is the kind of kid that you can't say anything to about any plan that you have, because if you give her any advance notice of we're going to do thing X, the questions come. When are we going? When are we going to get there? How's it going to do when we get there? And it's just because in her mind, she is such a meticulous thinker and planner that she can't just trust and go and do, hey, don't worry about it. We'll get there when we get there. She's got to know. She's got to know all the things. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually a very, very detailed point of intelligence that I think will help her in her adult life for sure. But I just kind of find it funny that you're kind of looking at God the same way of, well, I need to know I need to know all the stuff in the middle.
Yeah.
Are we there yet?
Yeah.
Are we there yet?
Yes.
When are we, when I get there, what are we going to do when we get there? Are there going to be people there? You know, like I just, and in your mind, I'm sitting in your brain for a moment and looking at this from kind of yes. God's point of view. And he's like, just give me a minute. I'll do all the things if you will just let me.
Yeah. That's it's hard. But where do we find the reassurance and the affirmation that we're on his path? We get in his word. And this is where the scripture says, God told Abram, leave your country, your family, and your father's home for a land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Like, those are promises that God said to Abram that he followed through with. And maybe there's not all the details. Like, I go into that place of like, oh my gosh, I'd have to ask, okay, God, I'll do all of this, but can you tell me who am I supposed to take and where are we going to go and how long is it going to be? And are we going to have food and are we going to have provisions? And like, what's the weather going to be like? What kind of clothes do I need? Is it going to be cold? Do I need to, are we going to be camping outside overnight? Like, I'm just sitting here thinking like all of these decisions of like scenarios and what ifs, because I need to be prepared and I need to be planned out and I need to have it all together. And it's like, sometimes God just wants us to sit back and not worry about all that because he's already got all that figured out. So we just need to go in obedience. And what was my word this year? It was obey. So, you know.
Well, it's kind of funny. I was looking for one thing and found something completely different, but the thing I found completely different was literally on point with what you said. This was in Colossians, I believe it was chapter 4 that I'm in here. It basically says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that's exactly kind of what you just got done saying, is that, you know, the answer is really in the belief. It's in the relationship. It's not in actually getting the game plan. Because when we step away from the driver section, if we're going back to our boat analogy, when we just get in the boat and put the oar in the water and listen to the guidance of the person that is driving the boat, it's going to get everything that needs to be done in an absolute perfect way.
Absolutely. And we're never going to see the path.
But we're going to see the finish line. It's like you never don't know you didn't cross the finish line.
Right.
Even though you're backwards. You didn't see it coming, but you know when you got there. And our God has been very faithful to our family. He's been very good to bless us in so many different ways. And sometimes you see those blessings most when you're looking back and you're like, oh, wow, look, there it was. And there it was. And there it was. And there it was. And that's just, it's so great to have days like today where we can have some very positive and uplifting, you know, conversation with each other and about life, and then be able to open up in a place like this to maybe be a point of positivity and just saying that God's moving, God's working, he's never idle. We need to rest, but he is always working. And if we will give him our schedule, if we will give him our white space, he's going to do amazing things in it, things much better than what we were ever dreaming of doing. But it takes that faith and that belief and the willingness to step out and do things that are unexplainable, unknown, and uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's hard to step out in the unknowns, especially for people like myself who maybe are so worried about what other people think and being a people pleaser and needing all of the specifics and all of the details and all of the things. And you know, I think really God's just working in teaching me to pause, teaching me to be still and be quiet and just trust and have faith that he's got it all handled and his time, all will be revealed and all will be good. And there's just a peace and joy in that is genuinely unexplainable.
So if that's you, if that may be a part of your life that you're like, I don't know why I'm in this season. I don't know why I can't figure this out. Maybe it is a time for you to lean in a little harder into the unknown and maybe stop trying to figure it out and start working more towards just obedience and listening and rest and finding solace in those things and knowing that God is, he's still moving. He's still working. He's still doing all of the goodness and the greatness, even in those moments that you think there's no way he could be doing something right now in this particular moment. He is.
Yeah. And I have a note here that I have a whole book of notes, but this one specifically is just like right here. Submission out of reverence and submitting to the season that we are in, that God has us in, and just having such a reverence for God, such a faith and a trust to know that you, God Almighty, have all of this situation in your hands, and you have already gone before me to figure it out. I submit everything to you. I submit myself to you. I submit my family to you. I submit every ounce of everything I am, in trusting you to know that you have a bigger picture of all of this, and it's perfect in your timing, and just trusting and knowing that he's got it handled.
And how much more important is that, especially in our own growing phase right now, when we have kids that are becoming very independent, driving cars on their own, being released kind of into the world, and us submitting to knowing that we have raised them to the best that we can. We have most certainly introduced them to the Almighty and his beauty and blessing and trusting and knowing and releasing them really to him. We're not releasing them to the world. Mm-hmm. We're releasing them to God for him to now work in their lives as they mature and trusting that he's got it.
Absolutely.
He's got it.
Absolutely. I think tonight has been a wonderful synopsis of a great week for us. I think we could probably in future podcasts really dive into some more of what marriage conference was and what we got from it, and you know, just continue sharing life and even in the busy season that we're in, this full season that we're in, just continue sharing. But with all of that, you want to close this out in prayer?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, God, we are so thankful for just the peace and joy that comes with a relationship with you. And just the friendship that we get to have and hold, and when we can't deal with it anymore, when we can't understand it, when we can't figure it out, God, you've already got it. You've already got it figured out for us. God, we're thankful so much for you being in the boat with us. We're so thankful for you being able to steer us in the right direction and you being able to just give us the guidance of when to row harder, when to row softer, when to just take a few moments to stop even. God, we do pray so much for those that are in different seasons and going through different things, that you would give each one of them the ability to stop and listen to you first and to find those moments and those points to connect, to see the plans that you have before them and to trust wholly in everything that you have for them, God. We pray for those that are working through some stuff that may not be on the bright side of life this day, God, that you would give them restoration and that you would give them,
yes, Jesus,
just an absolute picture of your perfection, God, that they may see that in you it is perfect, in you that there is nothing that they're going through that is going to be wasted, and that you are only building a beautiful testimony and a story that is going to be used for your glory. God, I ask that you would just continue to bless this particular podcast and these conversations, God, and that the right ears would hear and the right hearts would be able to find their way to you through it. And God, we're thankful so much for the forum that we've been given to do this. And I'm thankful for Chrissy and her willingness to be on this journey with me, and just the fun that we get to have just talking about the goodness of you and the things in life that are ups, the things in life that are down, God, but we're breathing, we're living, and it's life that is meant to be lived. It's life that's meant to be shared, and it's really life that is building this community around us that we get to be a part of, that we get to be integrated with, and that we get to just share some of us with others, God. So thank you so much for that. God, we pray for your blessing and your joy to be on each one of us. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we can't wait till the next one and continuing to peel the layers back. Thanks for staying up late with us. Yeah. And we will be back soon.
Bye.
Good night.